The Survivor Specialist Film Will are back, and tonight we are recapping episode number 5 of Survivor 50, our first purposeful double boot of the season, not a medevac on top of a boot. We got 2 boots in this episode, 2 pretty solid tribal councils, I thought, a really fun episode, and the tribe that didn't go. We got a bunch of coach giving people nicknames that are now based around Japanese mythology or something like that. We have a lot to dive into at this one. I will just start off by saying this. I was pulling for Rizzo at that tribal council. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. I really was. I feel really bad for Charlie right now. I feel like Charlie, so far we've seen everybody leave with a little bit of a smile on their face. Even Jenna, who was pissed, you know, she was going out and she was like, I can't believe, yeah, sure, standing ovation, whatever. Charlie going, he took this hard. And I feel like his whole story this season has just been about how the Maria thing has been eating at him. And I just feel like maybe I'm a little bit older than Charlie, but I feel like I can relate to this of super fan, get to play the game, get as close to winning as you can. You get invited back for 50 with all these legends. You think you're in a good spot and you just get absolutely blindsided. Just the floor pulled out from under you. And I feel for Charlie right now, although I was rooting for Rizzo in this scenario because it creates the most drama. And as somebody who has Devins as the winner pick, I'm still going to go with the Suri side of things more often than not. Devins can rebound. But to see Rizzo pull this without even playing the idol, I don't know, Will. This is impressive. What do you got?
Those words that you just used to describe Charlie, could you say them again? Super fan, super excited, gets called back to be on 50. Like, I think Rizzo and Charlie are like the same archetype. And that's why it's been kind of bugging me that they're, you know, going at each other instead of becoming, they should become like super fan bros. Like, we always see the bromance with like the good looking ripped dudes that are like, yeah, let's win some challenges. Like, they always have alliances with the maybe the prettier girls and stuff, at least in like older school Survivor. Like, when do the nerds or the super fans come together? This would have been such a good opportunity for two people who I think see the game in the same way and like appreciate and respect the game. I think they both play hard. They both think very far in advance. They're willing to make big moves, all of that. It just was like, damn, yeah, one of these two people were going to be very devastating. I imagine Rizzo would be pretty bummed too. I know he's got the bravado and the charm and he's R-I-Z-G-O-D. Like, if he's a pre-merge boot on season 50, I also think Rizzo is taking this very hard. And it's okay. I like that Charlie took it hard. It means he cares. It means he really wanted this. And I'm with you. Like, if I had to choose, I was probably pulling for Rizzo. But again, it's like I said this last week, it just felt like this whole drama, this bad blood between them was just from like this one little white line. It's like, why did this have to happen? Did this really need to happen? I don't know if either of them, I mean, we're sitting on a tribe where like Suri isn't in the numbers, but suddenly Charlie and Rizgod rises like the most threatening people. You have Rick Devins, who has like no numbers. He's not in the majority here. He's not even being looked at. And so it's just funny to me that these two players, because they were going after each other, just rose up as the largest threats. And yeah, Charlie's gone, man. That's a tough way to go. And I guess, I don't know. I hope this doesn't tarnish Charlie's legacy overall. And I hope really 50 for a lot of players doesn't. You know, it's a 24 person season, a lot of variables that they don't even know about. Hey, I mean, the fans voted on all these kooky things that they don't even have the answers to yet. It's a really big season, a really special season. It seems like a kind of a lighthearted season too. And I'm not going to sit here and be like, yeah, well, clearly Kenzie is like, was, you know, obviously the right choice to win from that jury because Charlie was a pre-merger on 50. Like, I hope that doesn't become the conversation, or like Charlie never had a good Survivor game in him. Like, look what happened here. I mean, this is after a swap. You're playing with a player you didn't get to see play. So I don't know. I'm not going to like, I hope this doesn't really tarnish Charlie's legacy, although I am like, I'm happy Rizgod pulled this out.
Yeah, I think a couple things to comment on there that I just wanted to bring up. I think the reason I feel worse for Charlie than Rizzo is Charlie watched himself play. And I think Rizzo, like, that was a big talking point at Tribal Council tonight about how watching yourself play, everybody's the hero of their own story. Then you see it happen. And Devins talks about that a little bit. And Charlie watching himself play, it really brought him down, I think. whereas Rizzo hasn't had to have that experience yet. So Rizzo would have taken this hard. I think Rizzo would have had more of a smile on his face, though, because he didn't know what 49 looked like. Now, 49 was actually very positive for Rizzo. So I think Rizzo would have been stoked about that anyway. But I do feel like he would have been a little bit, it would have been easier for him to take it, kind of like Savannah. Savannah's bummed about it. She's depressed about it. But she's like, I just got to do this twice in a row. And Rizzo's saying the same thing. 3 months ago, I didn't even know I was going to play Survivor. Now I've played it twice and I'm playing with Cerie Fields. So that's where it hits a little bit harder on the Charlie end of it for me. But I agree with you about the Charlie legacy. The internet's going to go and say Charlie's an idiot and Charlie's a moron and Charlie's this and Charlie's that. But I think it sucks. And there's M. Smith. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Put it up.
This definitely tarnishes Charlie's legacy. LOL. He was seen as one of the best runner-ups ever, which I still think can be true. Like, he still is one of the people that's closest to winning who hasn't won. I think, you know, Dom is probably number one. It was a literal tie. Charlie's one vote away from tying that, and we're all pretty confident Ben is voting Charlie in a revote over Kenzie. So, like, one vote away. So that, just because he's a pre-merger on season 50, does not tarnish his life, at least to me. Like, that's like saying, oh, Savannah is not a good winner because they voted her out of season 50. It's like, whoa, hold up. Like, how does that make it? Every season has its own stories, its own variables, its own, like, connections of players and how they're going to, like, you know, form their own season. And so you can't really extrapolate the story of one season and put it backwards. You can't retcon season 46 and be like, yeah, Charlie's not that good anymore. He was one vote away from winning.
Yeah, the DXJC here. I wasn't watching Survivor during Game Changers. Maybe it did tarnish Tony's legacy in real time. And then Tony comes out and he wins Winners at War. And Tina Wesson was the first person voted out of All Stars, and she almost wins Blood versus Water. Like,
but also, it's like your first game influences your second appearance. Like, is Tony going to get voted out pre-merge if people, like, hadn't seen him play and win Kageon the way that he did? It's like, no, because he found success, he became threatening. And I could say this argument to, like, whoever put up that comment that this does tarnish his legacy. You could just say, well, or does it improve his legacy? Like, he was such a big threat that they had to vote him out pre-merge. Because if you look at this, like, in the way the edit made it seem too, I mean, I was kind of going back. I think I cracked who was going home in each tribal council leading in just based on some other factors, maybe reading into things a little too far. But, Rizzo would have been a pretty good option here. Like, that, it makes sense to get Rizzo out. And I think part of the reason Charlie does end up going home, I think Charlie might be a more viable threat, like someone. And I know they gave this story to Camilla. I don't know if it was ever fully on Camilla. It could have been. And we'll talk about that. But do the people on that beach say, okay, who's more likely to beat us in the end? Or who's going to, you know, pull together a blindside or a majority later in the game? Who's going to rise up against us? Like, Rizzo, yes, he's unknown, but I don't know. I feel like they might be, like, kind of laughing at Rizzo a little bit, being like, yeah, you're a good player. They know Savannah win. Like, they have this confirmation that Rizzo did not win. And yeah, he can have fourth place out in fire. Maybe they don't, like, he can be saying all he wants. I'm a good player. I did this. I had an idol. And Devin's clearly heard some of that from Savannah. But for all we know, they're going, wow, this guy is a young kid. He's loud. He's overconfident. This is someone we can take deep into the game and not worry about. And maybe they're wrong. I'm not saying they're right or wrong in this, but you look at Charlie, it's like, that's a player who got all the way to Final Tribal Council and, yes, didn't win, but came very, very close. And I find that threatening to me, that Charlie is someone who very well can sit at Final Tribal Council and make a good enough jury speech to be one vote away from winning. So, yeah, I'm not going to hear any of the Charlie slander.
Well, I think this is a good point from M. Smith as a follow-up. It tarnishes Charlie's legacy in the sense that both D and Camilla said he was playing a bad game, not because he's a pre-merger. And that was something that was said tonight, where D and Camilla were both talking about how Camilla says he's too slow. D says that it's just, like, he's hard to be around. So maybe those types of comments were kicking it off. The one thing I have to ask, and I'm going to state this, and I don't know the answer to this. And I know that Sophie and Savannah and Rizzo, I know they listen. I know D doesn't, but I know that they do. So I'm asking this question just as an I don't know the answer. I know D and Sophie Bilardi are close, being the Miami connection of Survivor. Now, I don't know if Sophie Bilardi and D linked up in the 9 days between 49 and 50. I have no idea if that happened. But I don't know if that factored into this at all in a way that we didn't see, where maybe D was a little bit more willing to play with Rizzo. Now, I could be totally off on that, but I do think that some of the out-of-the-game stuff is impacting this season. And what was Charlie's you know, out of game stuff looking like. I have no idea what Charlie's connections are. I don't know who's up in Boston. I don't know who's talking to Charlie. So I wanted to bring that up, even though I don't actually think, I doubt Sophie Bellardi and Dee hung out in the 9 days between Sophie it's getting possible. Back and Dee going, but it's possible. And Sophie could have been saying, hey, Rizzo's a good guy, you know, because Sophie knows he's going. I'm just saying these things happen, and this isn't a knock on Sophie. I know that the internet's going to be, Sophie's a cheater. No, Sophie's not a cheater. You all need to grow up. But I just think that, you know, that is something that could be factoring into
also,
the way that we
all see. And it's also, if you're D, it's like, okay, I have there's a player from, you know, Miami, my area that I represent, that is on season 49. And now I'm hearing that there are two people from 49 going on. It's like, yo, give me the lowdown on these people. Like, yeah. I want it. Like, give me the intel. Introduce me to them if you can. Like, if you don't take that opportunity, it'd be dumb not to if that opportunity presented itself. So, yeah, I wouldn't classify that as cheating or shady. Well,
people say she cheated because of the whole pregame stuff that was circling, which was just garbage gossip that's going on in the internet.
I haven't heard anything about
that. We had Jake Latimer on the podcast. Like, where's this? It's like, everybody just chill. We're having a good time.
Just to go back to the Charlie, like, just because, like, Camille's like, oh, you're playing slow, you're playing badly. Like, I don't know. Like, because one other player says it about your game on a cast of 24 players. Like, I just, like, we've seen Charlie find success in Survivor. Just because you don't win or make the merge on one season doesn't, like, completely upend your entire Survivor story and experience. I just don't see it.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we got Blake Meyer here. I don't know this guy. Phil, if you're on this season, would you work with Charlie or D? It's crazy. I didn't realize Blake's numbers in here were his birthday. That's crazy. Would you work with Charlie or D? I'd go with Charlie, honestly. But I think that with the Charlie versus Rizzo thing, the other thing is they don't know Rizzo's game. They know Charlie's game. Rizzo's like your younger brother. We're like, I'll probably be able to beat him. I'll let him get a couple points and pick up basketball. I'm probably going to be able to beat him if I turn it on. But he's the little brother that you enjoy playing with. Charlie starts to step into that, like, he's your friend, but he's also the friend who maybe has beaten you in a few too many things, or maybe he's just like a little more threatening at whatever game it is that you're playing. And so you take him out first. I mean, you know, Rizzo knows how to play the guys, like, I'm just having a good time. Don't worry about it. Everything's great. He knows how to play that and come across as so unassuming. It does let people's guard down, and I think it's working.
Well, we also have to talk about this from, like, it's not a sole decision between who's more threatening, Rizzo or Charlie, or who's played a better game, or who do I want to work with. It's kind of holistically as a tribe, and as, I mean, the merge is closer than we thought. We'll definitely discuss our thoughts on the 17-person merge. But, like, going with Rizzo was, I think, more cementing, okay, let's work together as a group of women and have Rizzo in, and we're not just going to go based on tribe line. So it's like, if Dee and Camilla are, like, really tight and they want to bring in Sari and keep Sari as a shield, especially if you're Dee, who's a winner, and Camilla, who played super recently and is a strategist, very good on them to loop Sari into the vote. And if looping in Sari means you have to keep Rizzo in the game and use Rizzo as a number, it doesn't mean, oh, Charlie's a terrible player, or that they're, it doesn't mean also the opposite, oh, I'm super threatened by Charlie, he's going to win. It's because they want that relationship with Sari. And we saw tonight, Rizzo and Sari became kind of a package deal. So if that's their plan as, you know, strategic women with high threat levels, then keep Sari in the game. That could have been the deciding factor right there. And if it was Charlie and Rizzo roles reversed, just based on how we started on the tribes, it could have been Rizzo going tonight, and they could have been siding with Charlie. Like, we don't know. And, you know, the people that were on their original alliance with, you have Jonathan, Charlie, who are very close, and then Dee and Camilla. Maybe they're saying, just because I started with Jonathan and Charlie on my tribe and we got swapped into the four, look, these are thoughtful Survivor players. They don't just say, okay, I'm going to stick with that because that's what the color of my buff was. I mean, we're 50 seasons into this. So,
Urchard, I died when Sari said they were now married. Charlie and Rizzo. Sari and Rizzo are now married.
They shared advantage information, and now it's the vows have been read. You know, they're wearing the rings now.
Yeah. No, I was into this, and I think that, you know, the decisions, and Charlie or and Rizzo says at one point he's not a guy's guy. See, and that's what we need to hear as Phil and Will on this podcast. We get so many comments about how we just root for the bros. I love when we get those because I'm like, Michelle's like my all-time GOAT. Like, what are we talking about? But if Rizzo has been a fan of ours forever, and we're not like too bro-y for him, who's not a guy's guy, That's good for us. But I love that line of him just being like, I'm not a guy's guy. No, I'm not a guy's guy. And then he ends up teaming up with the women, and it would have been a very simple 4-3 split. I think Charlie thought it was going to be 6-1. I think he was shocked that his name even came up a second time. We have this comment here from Cody Brayman. I don't think Rick was blindsided. I think Sari told Rick to vote the other way because they are hiding. I also was rooting for Rizzo to go to protect Mother Veve. The Mother Veve thing is not lost on me here. If Rizzo goes here, that idol goes back to Mother Veve. And now we have an Aubrey versus Genevieve battle, even though we're going to merge at 17 next week. And I'm going to be sitting at Ron Clark, and you and Blake are going to have to decipher that. Do you think that Rick was in on this? He did not look like he was in on this at all.
I don't think he was in on this, especially because credit both to Charlie and to Rick. When the blindside occurred, Charlie even goes to Rizzo when he gets up. And Charlie's, like we've said, devastated. Goes, good job. Like, straight up to Rizzo, good job. And then we see Charlie walk away. Who's the next person to say good job? It's Rick Devins. Rick Devins pats Rizzo on the leg and goes, good job. It's almost like, I did not see that coming. I thought you were a goner, man. Like, well done. Like, way to get the numbers on your side. And that's the legend, R-I-Z-G-O-D, growing in front of our eyes. You have Rick Devins congratulating Rizgot on pulling off a blindside that I really don't think Rick was a part of.
Yeah. And this other comment that I just want to put up here from Turgenstein. Devins farted.
Was that in the prop bet? Was that an option?
That was not. We were actually talking about that. Tony Squares and I were talking about how we can't have who farted, because in the sneak peek, they showed Devins farting. And I was like, that'd be a weird one to put up. Other than Devins, who farts? Like, it's a weird question to be like, who are you thinking about farting?
Other than Devins. It's like, why can't I pick Devins? Damn.
Yeah, because in the sneak peek, Devins is letting one go, as we all heard tonight. Look, and then Blake just adds this, add one to Borneo and start it as an individual game. That's what we have going on next week. I mean, like, I'm pumped to see what next week is going to look like. We're merging at 17. They're wearing yellow buffs. They're all wearing different color buffs. We're merging at 17, and we still need to eliminate 14 more people before the final. I mean, that's wild.
We can talk about that after.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring that up. All right, let me throw up this other super chat.
I've got thoughts. We could talk about that for quite a bit, I think.
But I want to throw up this super chat too, Cody Brayman. I also love that this episode showed Camilla in charge. It's good to see. Well, you had mentioned that you don't know if Camilla was necessarily the swing, but I do think for me, the tell that it was going to be Charlie going home and not Rizzo tonight was early on in the season, Camilla was talking about wanting to play a different game than what she did in 48. I'm tired of this honor integrity. If she goes with Charlie, she's playing with Charlie, Jonathan, and Devins. She's playing the same game she played the last time. That's not best for Camilla's game. So that's what kind of tipped me off, is that they're planting these seeds. And another thing that I'm tipped off on is D has that one line to Jonathan saying, wouldn't it suck if we just got blinded by Sari and then she blindsided us because we didn't get rid of her when we could have? I think that they're planting the seed that that's how D is going to go home this season. So I think between like D and Camilla's lines there, I kind of saw how I thought that this episode was going to go. But I appreciate that, because that's storytelling. That's not spoiling your own season. That's just storytelling.
Yeah, for me, it was that we never saw the conversation between D and Camilla. And I don't think Camilla would ever make a decision here without looping in D. Like, if the plan is to stick with your, you know, D, Camilla, Charlie, Jonathan, let's ride this out as a four, then I think we would maybe get, something from them. Or maybe it was that D was so gung-ho on, like, I'm so down to flip on Charlie, and we never got any questioning of D. Like, okay, I'm in the middle here with Camilla, or it's up to us as a duo. I think I'd be way more willing to believe that Rizgod could have been voted out if it was more Camilla and D in the center, because I just don't see Camilla is going to vote out Rizzo and have it be a 4-3 vote. Not when you're already in with D. You know what I'm saying? So, especially when that third Charlie vote came up, it was like, okay, now 1,000% it has to be Charlie. And we just never saw them operating together. We didn't really hear from D like waffling. It was very like, I am doing Charlie. Whereas like, and they put all the waffling, all the power on the shoulders of Camilla. And I'm like, she's just not going to make this decision without D. It would have been very bad for her game to vote out Rizzo here when D voted against Charlie. Because then it's like you're not even keeping that four intact. And that would be like the whole, you know, strategic point of voting out Rizzo here, is you keep your numbers. You keep your original four from your starting tribe.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, I think that this was probably the right move for Camilla. I think going this route, you know, I don't think that the Kahlos were all that tight, the original Kahlos. I mean, Chrissy was on the outs. We, you know, Tiffany D and Camilla were talking about wanting to play the game together early on. But I don't feel that with Mike White going home, that tribe's down to seven. So what if they're now down to six? Like, they're not planning to pair back up with Chrissy and everything. Start playing your game. You said earlier in the podcast, it's not about what color buff you started the season with. I mean, you're playing the game that's in front of you right now.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think Camilla and D were locked in. I actually think Sari was probably more of the swing here because she was aligned with Devins early on in the season.
Yeah, and from what we saw on that initial tribe, I mean, they never went to tribal council, was that, like, I felt like Charlie and Jonathan were not super close, but they had somewhat of a bond, and we heard very little from Dee and Camilla, but the thing that we did hear was that they were together. So, like, that's keep – if you're voting with Dee and she's in on this with you, then perfect. This is a great move to take out a strategic threat in Charlie or maybe someone you've been on the beach with long enough. And I think it's clear, like, Charlie going up to Camilla so late and being like, has anyone told you about the idols this season? Like, should Charlie have done that a couple episodes ago, like right when they swap or right when Rizzo said that? Like, should, if this was the game plan, was to stick together as a core four, did Charlie need to kind of keep Camilla and D closer to him? Because it seems like he did this. I mean, Camilla says it. He was a little late. He was a little slow. Or was Charlie always going to be screwed here?
I feel like Charlie got too comfortable. I think he got too comfortable. I don't think the women would have necessarily gone with Rizzo had they felt more comfortable with Charlie, but I think Charlie got too comfortable with the alliance. And I think Charlie and Jonathan got too comfortable in where they stood with everything. And I think that Dee and Camilla, I mean, personally, I think Camilla made the right move for herself here, but Dee and Camilla were working in a pair. And I think that Camilla wants to play a different game than she played the last time. I know people in the chat were saying Devins isn't all about honor and integrity. Devins didn't have a single ally other than David Wright the entirety of Edge of Extinction because he got voted out. So I don't really know what Devins' game is all about. And so far, he's been trying to make unanimous votes the entire time. Jonathan plays honor and integrity, and Charlie was loyal to a fault. He ends up losing because then when he finally isn't loyal, he gets voted out of the game. So I think Camilla makes the right move. But if she's playing with Dee, I don't think this is the right move for Dee because Sari will use Dee as long as she can. And then the second, Sari's always going to want to have Dee as a shield. As soon as Dee's name comes up, Sari's probably going to be willing to say, okay, bye Dee, whatever, get out of here. And sure, maybe I'm just looking too much into the edit, but that's how I feel.
No, but I feel like it's mutually assured destruction at that point. Like, I think Dee and Sari need each other. Like, it's better for both of them. It's better for Genevieve, honestly. And I know we're saying, oh, Camilla maybe is trying to play a different game, but, like, to me, this felt like kind of old school Camilla, or like vintage Camilla, vintage as in two seasons ago, but like this is season 48 Camilla being very quiet, staying in the numbers, staying in the background, having little birdies in her ear, kind of getting all the information and being like, okay, this is where I know these people want to vote. This is where these people want to vote. It's now up to me to decide where I want to go. And I'm going to like just like she did with Kyle, we're going to be in the middle here and we're going to decide which way the vote goes. To me, this was like totally how Camilla has always played. I don't know if has Camilla done differently other than maybe pull the trigger sooner, turn on Charlie. But like in terms of her style, like it feels like we are getting a pretty straight up Camilla right now.
Yeah, but I feel like what I'm trying to make the argument of is the alliance that she's now going with, Dee, Rizzo, Sari, I feel like gives her more room to play the game that Camilla wants to play. She sat on her hands all of season 48. She always said, I wanted to play a more chaotic game and I didn't. Kyle always would talk me into not doing it. I think she went the route where she can play a little bit more chaotically. You might argue, well, Devins will play chaotically, but Charlie didn't play chaotically at all in his season. Jonathan's not going to play chaotically. If you go that route, plus you start to look at, okay, who was on that original tribe? Chrissy, Coach, like these aren't going to be chaotic people. If they all team back up and you're with them, you're playing a pretty straightforward game. So I think that Camilla made the right choice. I think Camilla teaming up with Sari is a smart move for her.
I think Camilla and Dee at some point sat down because, you know, Dee said, let's pull in Rizzo, or Rizzo wanted to work with Dee. I can see that, you know, especially Dee saying to Rizzo, you know, I'm a winner, you're an unknown entity. Again, like keep these like threatening top of mind people in the game so you're not the only one. But I do think it was Camilla and Dee saying, like, it's better for us if Sari's in the game. Like, keep Sari in front of us is going, it can only do good for us, whether there's another swap, whether there's another merge, whether we have to vote again and go right back to tribal council tomorrow or the next day. Like, having a four with Sari and moving forward in the game that way is going to be better than having Charlie around. Like, it probably is better for your game.
Yeah. Jayburn Aquatic, the sooner Rizzo is voted off, the better. Riz God, more like Riz, get off my screen, please. Lol. I'll take it. Sure. Rizzo's definitely polarizing in the community right now. I got a couple texts immediately after the episode going, oh my God, are you kidding me? And then I got another couple that were like, oh, thank God. So I don't know what's up with Rizzo, but he rubs some people just the wrong way. So Rizzo, the longer you're on the screen, people are either loving you or they're loving to hate you. And that's a good thing on Survivor.
Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Let's talk about this other tribal council.
We also lost Angelina tonight.
Man, I'm disappointed with Angelina, man. I can't even really sugarcoat it. Like, I'm happy for Angelina that she is at such a better place in her life, that she is so much different as a person. Clearly, I think she's grown up. She's able to self-reflect. She's got her kids. Like, she's living the dream right now. Like, everything is facing up Angelina. Everything's great for her. But like, nothing clicked this season, Angelina wise. And maybe that is just because Angelina at 23 is way more chaotic than this. I mean, Kat from One World and from Blood versus Water, Troyzan had set Alexa and I up with her for a podcast about, I think it was about Kim. Back when we did our Winners at War, like, previews for all the players. I remember I was like, all right, I mean, if you want to put Kat on, Troyzan, sure, I'll trust you. Like, I know Troyzan, sure. He says, we get Kat on and I go, holy shit, who is this person? Because she's totally different as a human being than she was when she played. She got older, she matured, she saw things a little bit differently. And I feel like Angelina on this season, it's just a different version of Angelina. And I'm happy Angelina played a second time. Blake and I were talking about on the Patreon earlier today of which players do we think will be asked back in future seasons of Survivor from Survivor 50. And you all know Blake is like the biggest Angelina fan. Both of us landed on probably not for Angelina because she wasn't able to get anything going. I actually think what's interesting is if Angelina survives this vote, she may have actually had winner potential because she was such a different version of Angelina. But she's gone. She does give the jacket away, which was fine. But she never got to the craziness. I'm sitting there watching with my wife and she hasn't seen Dave vs. Goliath yet. And I'm like, trust me, Angelina is awesome TV on Dave vs. Goliath because it just didn't come through here. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm in the minority, but I just feel like it didn't come through as strongly as I wanted it to. So that's me.
Yes, I don't think you have to say, am I crazy? Did anyone else see this? Or like, Angelina didn't bring it on season 50. Like, she pretty much didn't. And I don't think it's all to her fault. I think she wanted to play a version of Survivor where she can sit at the final three and win, which she did not do in David vs. Goliath. But the reason she couldn't win was because of her antics, and those antics made her to be very entertaining. And that's why we wanted her back on our screens. But I still, like, I would say, like, there's still a version of this season where it works out for Angelina, and we're looking at her as more a narrator, or more of a strategist. And because she goes out in the pre-merge after a swap on a double boot episode, it's like, okay, we're not going to invest time into that storyline because it never comes to fruition. She's not doing the fun, kooky things. We also have 23 other cast members plus Zach Brown to service with screen time. So, like, there was no reason to ever, like, build her up the way she has. Like, even if Christian went home tonight, everything that Christian had, like, done leading up to this was, you know, strategic, funny. Like, we saw the heist plan with Rick Devens. We have the idol still hidden at tribal council. He's been to every tribal council, you know, blindsiding Mike White, pissing off Ozzy. So he's been involved, and Angelina hasn't. So there was no reason to be like, let's just, like, feed Angelina content if she's not doing anything like crazy Angelina. But Phil, if Angelina survives this, and maybe she, let's just say they win this challenge somehow, and I know this tribe was, like, likely not going to win, and she makes the merge and finds a footing, like, I could have seen, not that we don't need the same Angelina from David vs. Goliath to have Angelina be a worthwhile, entertaining character on our screens. And just because we didn't get it doesn't mean that it wasn't possible.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because I'm saying, I think there's a strategic, Stanford-educated, grown adult woman, Angelina, who's a kick-ass, badass survivor player who can win a final three on a monumental season like 50. That didn't happen, clearly. She's voted out. But just because it didn't happen doesn't mean it wouldn't have been in the cards. So I agree with you. I don't think she's playing again. Also because, you know, David vs. Goliath has pretty long ago at this point. Like, great, we got Mike, Christian, Angelina back. They were all in the same tribe. For them to go back-to-back in the same tribe is kind of nuts, for it to go Mike and then Angelina. But like that, that season's great, but that's not at the tip of everyone's tongue. We still have people from the new era that we don't have Carolyn back. We don't have Jesse back. We're going to have some stars after this season. You know, a lot of episodes left that we haven't even seen yet. So I'm with you. I think this is the last we hear of Angelina. And I liked her bit with the jacket. I think it was very poetic in a way that, like, you know, fun Angelina, crazy Angelina, the Angelina we were begging to see on our screens. She's asking for someone's jacket who she just blindsided and voted out because she's that cold. She's going to take that away from them. And that's their moment of their torch getting snuffed. And here we get the very, like, kind of low key, polite, amicable Angelina. And what does she do? She's going to offer a jacket to somebody. And so it's very goes in line. It bookends kind of her arc. And yeah, I'm kind of sad we didn't get the crazy Angelina, but good for her on, like, really changing and growing in the past 7 years. And I'll still say, like, just because she didn't win doesn't mean she had no game.
Yeah, no. And that's, I pretty much we're in agreement, I think, on everything with Angelina there. I'm happy for her as a person. I'm bummed for me as a viewer a little bit, just because of how this season went. Now, let me ask you this question though. Right move or wrong move to vote her out tonight?
I don't know, because I feel like this tribe was a mystery. I don't know how it was a mystery, but we spent so much time with them after the vote, you know, the first act of this episode, and we hear Ozzy tantrum, tantrum, tantrum. We knew this was coming from the preview. We see so much of it. We even flash back to South Pacific, that wasn't even the vote I was thinking of. Like, the main I was thinking of was we talked about it last week, where they vote out Elise or something, whoever he was close to, and Jim Rice would be like, Ozzy, get over it. Like, where are you going to go? This was like the Cochran flip, which was even different. But Ozzy has been blindsided quite a few times, and I think he does have trauma from it. But we never heard from Angelina on this at all, and I was so confused. I'm like, where is Angelina going to land on this? Because I knew Steph and Ozzy would probably get together. And I think Emily and Christian, clearly, they voted as a duo. Christian made the move against Mike White to keep Emily in the game. And that Angelina was going to be, like, integral to the future of this tribe. And if they were going to lose, we know there's two boots coming, then this tribe sucks at challenges. This tribe's likely going right back. The fact that we did not hear from Angelina on Christian taking out Mike White, those are the three David vs. Goliath players, I found that to be just so confusing. I was just like, huh?
Why are we
not hearing? And so then it started raising a flag to me, like, is she just the foregone conclusion as the next boot, but I'm like, Ozzy's actually pissed. And Angelina's a number right now. She's a vote. You don't just not talk to her. I was confused, Phil.
Yeah, my theory on the lack of Angelina talking about Christian is because the merge is happening in the next episode. The editors, I think Angelina probably said a lot of negative about Christian making this decision, and the editors just kept it out because Christian right now is the star of the season. So I think that's a big part of it with Angelina going, as you were just talking about, like she goes out early in a double boot episode. We don't need to spend as much time on her story. But I think Ozzy's making the same mistakes he's always made. He's making the same mistakes he always made. And I get that he's coming out and he's saying, I threw a tantrum. I'm sorry. I'm going to grow as a person and I'm going to be more mature about this. But when I say he's making the mistakes that he always makes, Ozzy, he trusts people for no reason sometimes. We saw it in South Pacific when he trusted his entire tribe when they blindsided him with the Elise boot. I know somebody said Semar. Semar was the first boot. Elise was the one that actually, I think, drove him crazy. And that was later on in the merge. Or in the pre-merge, and he thought he had total control over the alliance, and Elise goes home and he's really mad. And then he goes right back and says, I'll vote myself out of the game to trust you. And then he goes right back to them, but they'd already betrayed you once. And I think in fans versus favorites, they didn't really get a chance to betray Ozzy. Ozzy is the first betrayal there, but Ozzy goes back and starts trusting Suri on this season. And I'm not saying that he can't do these things and try to give people a second chance. But I feel like that's what Ozzy's survivor story has been. So when I sit here and I watch Ozzy on this episode, the right move is to say, Angelina, we haven't gotten along. Steph, it's you and me. The three of us are voting Christian out of the game tonight because Angelina, you should be pissed. Now, what does Angelina do? She goes and votes for Steph because she really thinks Emily and Christian are going that way. And I think that there was a world where Ozzy and Steph could have sat down with Angelina really close to tribal and said, Christian's voting for you tonight. He's ready to get rid of all of David versus Goliath. You can vote with us or you can go home. There's no time to go chat with him. And I think that they could have spun this on Christian. And I think Christian going home was the better move.
Yeah, I thought that was a real possibility. And we just never, I don't know, we just never saw it. Like, and again, I get what you're saying about Angelina. You don't need to hear from her if she's going out, but she was the boot of this episode. Like, I think the boot makes more sense, or at least there could have been the suspense of like, where was the aftermath between Christian and Angelina? Because Angelina is a number there, and Christian, we never see go back and be like, hey, sorry, I lied. I knew you're close with Mike, but this never meant I didn't want to work with you. Like the fact that Angelina then went back to vote with Christian and Emily, I don't know. I agree with you though, Phil. Like, Ozzy and Stephanie had the opportunity to turn this on Christian. Like, they could have swung over Angelina because it seems like Emily and Christian did not do any work to get Angelina as a number back. And that might be because, look, she's the target. Let's just work on getting Ozzy and Steph back and we're all good. But I don't know. There's definitely a world where Ozzy's going to be pissed. You need Angelina as that third number. And the only thing we really heard from Angelina was she said, there's two and two. I'm the swing vote. And so she thought she was in the middle.
Yeah.
So maybe Christian and Emily did do a good enough job. But I don't know. I was
and maybe that's what happened with Ozzy and Steph is they were talking to her and they're like, she is not understanding that she's going to go home tonight. Let's just vote her out. Because what I think would have been interesting if Christian goes here, Christian's kind of bridging this gap between the new era and the old school, playing with Emily as closely as he is. I think if Christian goes here, I think we could have very easily, and we still could, even with Christian, but like Angelina, Steph, Ozzy, I could see them getting together with like Colby. I know Coach doesn't want to work with Ozzy, but maybe Coach has buried the hatchet by this point. We don't really know what's going on with them.
I don't think so. I think that feud is definitely returning.
Yeah, I'm just getting into my own feelings here, hoping that that's going to be real. Yeah,
well, I mean, Devin's and Christian we saw were very close. And, you know, Devin's has been on a tribe with Suri, and they were, you know, they were with Emily before they swapped. So I think there's a world where it's like Devin's, Suri, Christian, Emily, now Ozzy and Steph are in the mix. And you could be working, you know, that's a pretty old school alliance.
Yeah, no, that is. That really, really is. And there was no way that that Emily was going to go home in this episode. But, you know, I think Emily maybe would have been more willing to get over it. Emily's so all over the place anyway. She's so chaotic. She says everything she shouldn't say. She just tells everybody every little detail of everything that happened. Tonight, she's telling Christian that Ozzy's being a baby and Christian's agreeing and all of this. I think if you get rid of Christian here, Emily's going to be chaos whether Christian's in the game or not. Eventually, people are just going to get tired of her brand of chaos, and you just have to hope you survive long enough to outlast her brand of chaos. Emily, to me, feels like she's getting 9th, 10th place on this season. She's going to go similar to where she went last time, couple votes into the merge, and then they're going to say, okay, that's enough, Emily. She's a little too much. Even though Emily, they were starting to think, could win. She's making too many moves. We're giving her a little too much power. Let's knock her down a peg, and that's going to be the end of Emily.
Yeah, it was quite funny with Emily and Christian being like, Ozzy's so mad. And for something just so simple as being left out of a vote on Survivor, ha, 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 what a baby. Like, they really were like, I mean, I get there's a human element. And Ozzy's been through it, and it's not a good feeling, I'm sure. But it's so funny, and I think that is probably more a battle of the eras where the new school players, and I know, you know, Christian's season 37, so not technically new era, but, you know, more modern Survivor players are going to be like, oh yeah, you didn't tell me the truth and you voted me out. Big whoop. Like, that's fine. And Ozzy, someone who played in season 13 for the first time, is going to be like, yo, like, that's really not cool. Like, how am I supposed to work with you moving forward? What did you think of the shot in the dark of it all? Because I thought this was kind of silly from Ozzy. This stuff never works. And then the way Christian handled it after realizing, oh, Ozzy's like serious about this. Like, oh, if I really give him my shot in the dark, that's going to increase my chances of Ozzy not voting me out tonight with Angelina. I have to kind of go through with this. And he doesn't go up to Ozzy and say, you're a baby. It's just a vote. What's wrong with you? Why are you targeting me? He doesn't start this confrontation. He goes up, you know what? You're right. And just gives him the shot in the dark. And I don't know. I thought it was very cute to see kind of Christian be so aware and on one end and telling the audience Ozzy's a baby, and then to Ozzy's face being like, I'm so sorry I wronged you. Here's my shot in the dark. Like, it was a very, very funny dynamic between those two who have different outlooks on the game.
Can Ozzy play Christian shot in the dark?
No.
Okay, so yeah, no, giving it up no. Is it just so that Christian can't name on use it. I don't get it. I don't know.
It says his name on it.
I know. So to me, it really doesn't make sense why Ozzy was asking for this. And then Christian.
No, and honestly, it's honestly like if you were asking somebody for this, it's almost like it has to be a gameplay move to make sure they don't play their shot in the dark and you're voting off. Like that would be my first thought if I were Christian. Like, whoa, this doesn't make sense, because if I give this to you, how is it proving trust exactly?
Yeah.
Because I'm probably not gonna play it anyway, but now that you've asked for it, now I might play it. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, exactly. Because then Christian should start thinking, wait, does he have the numbers? Stephanie, him, Angelina, could they be voting me out? Could that be happening? Emily keeps saying she wants to work with Ozzy. Yeah. Ozzy said tonight, Emily, I want to work with you, not Christian.
Yeah, and just that stuff never leads to anything good where you ask people for things. It's never like an altruistic end game where, like, I actually just want your trust, do this for me. Like, we see it all the time, especially we're on a season with Ceree. We're on a season with Ozzy from Micronesia. It's like the most notorious scene in the show is Eric giving up an immunity idol. And that wasn't for Ceree to win Eric's trust back. That was to make sure he could be voted out. Like, that's the reality of it. And we're doing Worlds Apart over on the, or I don't know if that started yet, but we're starting to.
Starts tomorrow.
Starting to do that. And there's that one vote where it's like, yeah, tell Will to vote Haley. And if he votes Haley, then I can trust him. And it's like, okay. So you lied to him to gain his trust. Like, what are we doing? Like, these little trust tests on Survivor don't really work, but maybe there's a first for everything. Because I felt like if Christian doesn't give the shot in the dark to Ozzy, is Ozzy potentially voting Christian out with Angelina? Like, did this sway Ozzy, do you think?
I don't think it really matters.
There's a real world in which I'm like, maybe this actually changed Ozzy's mind, or like Ozzy maybe not changed his mind, but Ozzy was sitting there in the middle being like, Steph and I can vote Angelina or we can vote out Christian, and which way are we going to go with this? And then, you know, the fact that Christian came up unprompted, right? He had said Ozzy made his peace, they went their separate ways. Ozzy didn't come back and say, Christian, have you made your decision on the shot in the dark? And that Christian just went up to him out of the blue and said, you know what? I just want to give this to you. I want to have a relationship in this game. I could see that working on Ozzy. And it seemed like it made an impact. There's also the world where, you know, Stephanie and Ozzy went to Angelina and were like, Angelina, please vote with us to get out Christian. And she's like, No, I'm sorry. We're just going to vote. I'm like, I don't want to lie. And like, she's playing a newer game. And then they're like, huh? You don't know that you're the target? What? Like, and maybe they even said you're the target. And then she's like, yeah, they're lying to me. So I'm going to vote Stephanie. And then that kind of removes the drama of her being a swing vote. I don't know.
I have no idea because we didn't see it.
We didn't see Angelina where she was on this vote. Again, we heard that one thing where she thought she was a swing vote. And usually when the swing vote goes home or someone who thinks they're in a swing position goes home, that's usually such a beautiful boot. You know, that's back to Christy and then Amazon or Sarah at the Merge in Cagayan where it gets flipped on the person in the middle. And it just was kind of weird from what we got at Angelina.
Yeah. And this came through almost at the exact time that you mentioned Worlds Apart, Panda of Pizza, Christian acting like the shot in the dark is some game-changing advantage. It's game-changing just in the Haley Ford way. So
there you go.
Not really. I don't know. I don't know what was going on there. And maybe because it was a double boot, maybe they wanted to spend a little bit less time on what was a more obvious boot. To me also, doing the commercial break right before the vote told me Angelina's done. Because that's when they're trying to create fake drama to keep you hanging on the edge of your seat. In reality, they could have just said, okay, we're going to leave at the end of this tribal and then go to the other. Also, showing that tribal first, we don't know how they determine which person or which tribe went to tribal first and how that works with placement and all that stuff. But I do feel like that tribe going first, even if it was aired second, it totally makes sense that they did that one first because it's the more obvious one. And to me, it just felt like the fireworks were coming in the second one the entire time.
Yeah, and I imagine they know which one's going to be more. And it's not like, again, when you have two losers, there's no one that earns the right to do something first. So,
well, that was going to be my question. You had like, so now obviously prize money is different and everything like that. So now Charlie is listed as 19th place and Angelina's 18th place. How does that work?
Maybe it was how many sandbags were left, but if they were tied in sand, I didn't pay close enough attention to the challenge. If they were really going to get nitty gritty, it would be whoever had more sandbags, you know, is the second place and they'll go second to tribal. And if they had the same amount of sandbags, he would go, okay, well, who got their, you know, their last sandbag first?
Is there a world in which,
or it could like be a world where
Charlie's actually finishing better than Angelina, or Angelina's finishing better than Charlie and like they're giving her different prize money than what's actually happening on the show?
I think on a double boot, I think the prize money would probably be the same. I don't know at this point, even if there is prize money, it might be different for 50.
Everybody gets something for being.
Yeah, but it's more episode, how many episodes your face and your image and likeness is in. And so it's like when there's two tribal councils in one episode, you've both survived that entire episode. So it's like it wouldn't change the pay structure, I don't think.
Gotcha.
It's not like a poker tournament where it's like every place, you know, there's incremental ones on placement like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe they're, again, it's on an episode basis, not within an episode. But there's definitely a world where it's like, okay, this was the better tribal council. Let's air it second. And, you know, maybe Charlie went home before Angelina. Maybe that happened. I don't know. It's possible.
Let's talk about what's most important, though. Coach is getting Colby and Joe together, and that's going to be the final three of the season. And I'm going to get Coach and Colby in the final three of this season. I mean, Will, I know you're not the biggest Joe fan, but are you willing to sacrifice?
No, if that happens,
Coach and Colby?
If that happens, then I'm with it. Cause you always get the zero vote finalist anyway. So we need someone to take up that seat. And if that's Joe, maybe that's even funnier that he loses again.
To Colby and Coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, what did you think about what's being set up here with Colby, Coach, Joe, knowing that the merge is happening next week, although we don't know how it's really going to shake out, whatever. It's 17 people. I know we have this crazy comment up here. Cody Brayman, my theory is that they merge for an episode and vote three people out and swap the two tribes of seven the next episode. I wouldn't put anything past Survivor at this point. I have no idea. We don't know exactly how that's going to work, but they're all going to the merge. Colby and Coach haven't been to a tribal council yet. Are you feeling like this is actually a trio to watch? Or is this just, we want to make sure Colby, Coach, and Joe, three of the most popular players on the season, are going to get enough screen time?
I would be surprised if this went nowhere, but at the same time, you got Coach handing out nicknames like he did in Token Chains. Like, this is why you have Coach on season 50. We've heard from Jeff. We've heard that this should be kind of a more lighthearted, celebratory season. So spending time with Coach and his lore and his travels and his quirks of naming people and this honor and integrity, which is often just bullshit. Mm-hmm. Like, this is fun. This feels like old school Coach is back on our screen. So I'm like, this makes sense why this is in an episode of season 50 of Survivor. Does it mean these three have to go really far or even like survive one tribal council together? No, because I think this is the type of content fans of Coach are wanting. And like you said, it's featuring Colby, one of the OG faces of this franchise, and Joe, one of the new faces of this franchise. So there's no way this is like getting left on the cutting room floor. I'm not going to look too much into it.
I will say, if you know, you slip Terry Dietz in there instead of Joe, and this is Phil's dream. DXJC, all three saying I'm no more deserving than the next for 45 minutes. That would be the final tribal council. These guys, honor and integrity. No, you. Just be 45 minutes of that.
Oh, they would be, all three of them would get so cutthroat and ruthless. It'd be so funny. Mm-hmm. It'd be a great final three.
Colby would win that for sure.
I think so.
Yeah.
Colby is definitely winning that.
Now, can I say what really scared the shit out of me about Colby?
His impression or when Jeff started talking?
No, that was amazing. So we haven't even talked about that, but this is more important.
I know. I was like,
I got to say this first.
Is Phil going to like this or not like this?
No, I got to say this first.
Okay.
Why is Colby getting a confessional talking about his foot having an ouchie? Like, why are we hearing that? Why are they cutting to that? Is that just because you should be shocked as an audience viewer that Colby's not participating in the challenge? Yes. Is that what it is? Okay. Thank you for reassuring me. Cause I was like, why are they telling us this? Normally if they have that type of random confessional and then the edits going, I'm like, are we about to get Colby getting pulled from the game because he got a boo-boo? Like, what is happening here? I don't need that in my life.
Yeah, because I mean, when Jeff said, who are the sit-outs? And it's like, all right, who was it? Camilla? No, not Camilla. It was Aubrey and Colby, I want to say. Are they in the same
draft? No, it was Genevieve. Genevieve and Colby.
Genevieve and Colby. You're going like, huh? What? No, Genevieve was in the
challenge. Oh, no, Genevieve swam. What the hell am I telling you? Yeah, it couldn't be Genevieve. It was Aubrey.
It was Aubrey and Colby. And you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, I did a double take. Like, wait, huh? And I think they just needed to throw something in there. Like, this is why Colby's not participating. They're not throwing the challenge or anything. Like, don't worry. I think you need an explanation there.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure because that just scared. That was the first time my heart skipped a beat. I feel like Colby's just been chilling. We're five episodes in. Colby hasn't gone to a tribal. He's in a good alliance. I mean, even Aubrey saying, I think Coach is running this tribe. I'm going to go try to work with Coach. I'm like, oh my God, it was Chrissy and Colby. Thank you, Turgenstein. Oh my God, we're going to get Colby, Coach, Aubrey, Joe. I'd watch that season. Like, I don't care. And so you're hearing all these things and all of a sudden they throw that line in and I just did like a double take. And I knew that the rational part of me knew that it was Colby, them just needing to explain why he sat. But then another part of me was just like, man, what happened to Colby's foot? Why didn't we see Colby hurt his foot? Are we about to find out that Colby hurt his foot stepping on a coconut and he's going to plow his way out of the game like that Jeff guy all the way back then? I didn't need that. But I really – go ahead.
It was just a nothing. Just a nothing.
I think, though, that this was probably the most interesting we got from this tribe. I know Chrissy and Tiffany were invisible again. Tiffany was very good in the challenge, and that was essentially the extent. She's now been zero confessionals in three of the five episodes. But I felt like this was interesting because we did get Aubrey saying, I want to work with Tiff, but Coach is running this. And we get Coach creating this alliance with Colby and Joe. Didn't hear from Genevieve, didn't hear from Chrissy, but it feels like the pieces were starting to come together over there a little bit. And I'm curious how that'll work for all of them when they get into this merge situation.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Genevieve can't win now. She didn't get a confessional.
That's it, Will. We had a good run, didn't we? Colby still can. Coach still can.
Mm-hmm. I predicted that Chrissy was going to be purple. I know she hasn't been totally purple.
You had a dream. You told us about this dream numerous times.
I had a dream that Chrissy was purple. Yeah.
And she hasn't been as purple. Tiffany's been brutal.
I feel like for some reason, maybe because Tiffany was called out by Aubrey today and they had a scene of her in the challenge. I feel like I got more from Tiffany today than I did from Chrissy.
Well, you did because she actually participated in the challenge, did a great job in the challenge. Whereas
it was like name checked by Aubrey.
Yeah. Chrissy just sat. Nobody even said Chrissy's name.
Yeah. Didn't even know she was there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and neither one of them have gone to a tribal council yet. So this is the beauty of this kind of season. Right now, we have seven people out of the game. We're down to final 17 and we're five episodes in and we still have, I think,
a lot of people. Like Genevieve hasn't been a tribal council.
That whole tribe. I think the only one from that tribe who has, what is that tribe? It's just, it's Colby, Joe. Joe is the only one I think who's been. It's Colby, Joe, Coach, Genevieve, Aubrey, Tiffany, and Chrissy. Joe's the only one who's been on that tribe.
There you go. Okay, should we talk about the 17-person merge and what this means and what we have coming?
Yeah, I think we should. Let's get this first because it's here. The twist next episode. Gabler will come out from the ocean and give the cast palm frond blankets as reward. There you go. We'll get some more winners in as something. That was Jayburn Aquatic again. So, Will, it's 17 people merging, or so we're told. They're all wearing the buffs, whatever. But then Jeff says this is like a historic moment, whatever. There's been speculation of a triple boot, people are saying in the chat. I don't know if that's something that's been like revealed. I know it's a 2-hour episode next week. I know Ron Clark is throwing his big event. I know RHAP is going to be there. I don't know if people were tipped off that something big is happening here, or it's just the merge. I have no idea. What do you think is happening in this episode? Are we just getting one boot at Final 17? Is this going to be more boot?
Three seems excessive. One doesn't seem like enough.
Agreed.
So it's got to be four.
There you go. They got to go really overboard. Well, here's what I don't want to happen. And this is something Australian Survivor has done. But more often than not, Australian Survivor does this when there's some corny, stupid twist in their show. Because Australian Survivor is fun, but it's nowhere near as good as people say it is. Australian Survivor will do this thing where it's like, okay, you're all at Tribal Council. Well, there's actually a twist. The three people with the most votes will go to Redemption Island, or three people with the most votes will be swapped to another tribe, or three people with the most votes. If there's going to be more than one person being voted out, it's got to be two different tribal councils. You can't just be like, oh, we're going to one tribal council and the three people with the most votes go. That'd be the stupidest thing of all time.
I would not put, I don't know. I think anything with like a Redemption Island or an extra journey or exile, like, I just don't think there's enough time. Mm-hmm. For that on a season with this many people and only 26 days. But if you tell me we're putting 70 people at Tribal Council and the top two vote getters are eliminated, that is not something that I think is too crazy for season 50 and Jeff and a season that got voted, you know, dynamic twist and advantages.
But that would be so bad, wouldn't it?
I don't know if it's like inherently bad. I think there's a lot of problems with that. I think that would be a really hard story to tell. I think it would be really messy. I imagine what we're doing here, and I think this is already a twist in itself, is for the first time in Survivor history, we are going to unmerge, quote unquote, unmerge. I think that will be the quote, maybe in not next week, because we're going to merge next week, and maybe not even the week after that, but I think maybe the week after that, maybe three weeks from now.
Every single season of the new era, they've unmerged. Anyway,
I know. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. It's not an official unmerging. That's a merging and then splitting into groups and having one group be safe where they're not tribes. I think there is a world where we're merging at 17. Everyone has a yellow buff. We eliminate two people next week in some fashion. I can't tell you exactly what. And then maybe this next week. And then maybe we go back to three tribes of five. Or maybe we're with 15 for a little bit. We have a normal vote at 15 and it's just a one boot week. And then we're down to 14 and then we go to two tribes of seven and we do two tribes for another couple. Maybe, I guess you can't do the double boot thing. Maybe you do. Maybe you do two rounds.
I feel like what they would do is they would probably go to three tribes and just call them groups. They wouldn't even call them tribes. Be like, oh, you're wearing the
I think to sell the unmerging of it all. And this is why the new era has never really been an unmerging is I think you need to get a merge buff and then you need to put on a buff from one of the old beaches. And we've yet to go that far in Survivor. And I think for this to be this early and for an unmerge to be on the table as something that hasn't been done in 50 seasons with the twist being dynamic and this being such a big season, like why wouldn't you do an unmerge? Like this feels like almost a guarantee to me at this point. Once I saw we were merging at 17, I'm like, okay, so we're merging and unmerging. Like that has to be what we're doing.
And I would be fine with that. This is where I start to get nervous though. And this is where I just start to, I haven't been able to trust Jeff and production enough in the recent seasons to know that they're not going to mess this up.
I just earned that.
I think they could.
The hourglass didn't earn your trust.
Yeah. They really could mess this up really badly. Well, and that scares me.
It seems like from the preview, that I see part of an individual immunity challenge, and it's the chimney sweeps, I believe, where the one where you're in the chimney and you have
17 of them.
It looked like there are quite a few. I mean, maybe I don't know what it, but it looked like it was like one blue, one pink. Oh, wait, is it one blue and pink? Are these the Mr. Beast colors? Because do we have a blue and pink tribe? No, we have an orange, pink.
It was orange, teal, and
teal. Purple. So maybe it was teal and purple, and it's not the Mr. Beast color. I'll have to watch the preview again because maybe this is where Mr. Beast is coming, if those are the Mr. Beast colors. But I could be getting way.
Yeah, and then Trav Herod just said Danny Rome, Holly Sarah, and other Midwest Survivor players are having something in KC next week. So, I mean, I don't know if people knew the merge was coming. I had no idea the merge was coming, but maybe people had an idea that the merge was coming and wanted to do a big episode here. I mean, you talked to enough people.
I don't think it would be hard for like Survivor.
Yeah, if you've been on the season, you talk to people, you know.
Yeah, I'm having an event. Can you give me a little heads up on when's a good week to host it? And they're like, oh, well, yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
You're
watching the preview, I presume.
I just pulled it up. Yellow buffs. Okay, that is, I see teal and orange on the challenge in the background.
You think that's a fake out, though? And that's just when they.
No, that looks. Oh, and I see all three colors. I see teal because purple is in one shot. And then there's teal, and then I see a little bit of orange, and it is the chimney challenge. And so it could be, I don't know. Maybe they divide.
What do you think? Here's a question.
Oh my God. It could be they get into groups or they merge, and then you never really merge because then we're going to do, randomize now into groups, which is just like now it's, you say it all the time. If you merge and then split into groups, you're not merging. It doesn't make any sense. But like, then you just, it does. This is now really scaring me for three boots.
Well, here's what I think. If they're doing all three tribes and there's just one setup station, is it just one setup station?
No, there's three distinct stations with,
like, but it's one of each color.
Yeah, but this
okay,
is
here's what I think. Here's what
they
I think.
Have their buffs, their yellow buffs.
Here's what I think. I think each tribe is going to put up a hero, kind of like what happened in Second Chance.
No, Phil, I'm telling you.
No, but I'm still hearing me out. And then everybody from that tribe, even though they have their buffs, everybody from that tribe will be immune at the first merged tribal council.
It's not. I'm telling you, there are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. At least 5 blue ones. That means there's probably at least 5 orange ones and 5 purple ones.
Oh, I thought you said, I just asked you if there was one and you said yes.
Well, there's one like frame that has 6 things. There's like a setup. And look, it's not all in one clean shop. No, but there's not one of each color. There's multiple of each color. And it really worries me that it is going that now looking at this makes me think it's going to be three boots because it's a 2-hour episode. And I think it's going to be merge and then it's going to be randomly get a color, be with a random group of people. Winner gets immunity, 3 tribal councils, which is really not fun or interesting because it's going to be so random.
Yeah. So it's essentially just another tribe swap. Why are they saying they're merging then?
And again, this would be like, if you wanted to ever use the term unmerge, where you get a merge buff and then later in the season, take the merge buff away and return to an old buff. This would be the season to do it when you have this many people, but this is maybe not that.
Cause people are saying tribe swap then 3 tribals, or is it going to be one individual immunity winner from each tribe and then they go to the tribal council? But if you one individual immunity winner from each tribe and then they go to tribal council as a merged tribe, you're still only voting one person out.
Yeah, no, it's like I think they're gonna do 3. I don't know, there's 3 full times, and it's not even one of those things, Phil, where at the merge in the new eras where it's like you have the big obstacle course and then like the winning team competes for immunity as like the secondary phase. Where they're all standing at the start of the challenge is in front of not the obstacle course portion. It's in front of these chimney sweep individual immunity challenge like rigs. So
could we see they all take off running to do something. Could it be that you're trying to find something to be on like the captain of a tribe and then you pick the tribe and it's actually a tribe pick instead of just a random swap? And then you all compete for individual immunity.
Yeah, but again, if you don't, what's the point of getting the buff then if it's a tribe swap?
What's the point of not getting the buff when it's mergatory?
But at least there's like this little bit of like, okay, here's the idea. You have to earn the merge, so you're not going to get your buff until you, you know, if you don't win the challenge and don't win safety, you're not going to get your buff yet. And there's, and even though there's two groups, they're usually going to tribal council together. So this would be, this feels weird. It does feel like three people are going though, now that I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I just want to know how. Because I just don't want it to be, oh, they all go to the tribal council at the same time and the highest three vote getters all go home. That would be stupid.
No, I think this, like, I mean, that, not, I'm not saying that isn't it, but like, I don't know. It might be three tribal councils.
How are they separate? You think three tribal councils like post merge here? It should be vote, vote, vote.
Like from what I'm looking at, they're merged at this challenge, and then there's three different colors of challenge lanes. So they have to get into three groups after they've merged, is all I'm saying.
All I'm saying is this is one time where I wish I was Blake, because I'd probably know.
Cruz is eight. Like, this is what I'm saying. I think it's three random groups voting out one each, unfortunately. That's where I'm, like, after looking at this preview, that is where my head is at.
And that would be awful, because right now we're cooking. The storylines make sense.
Everything's great.
Yeah, that would be dumb. And then, but I mean, at least everybody has a chance to win individual immunity, although Jonathan's not winning this challenge, right? Joe's not winning this challenge. I don't know. If you're going to do that, it should almost just be stand on a pole. God, that makes me mad. Yeah, but then there's also 17 people. So like the Panda of Pizza says, two groups of six, one group of five, three individual immunity winners, three boots. Like, who gets to determine who's in the group of five?
It will be random because everything's random.
And then why merge if it's three groups? I will scream if that happens. I mean, I'm so confused right now.
That's what it looks like. And again, I could be wrong.
I'm so confused. No spoilers. Also, yeah, and I'm going to say this now at the hour, 4 minute mark. If you end up leaving something in the comments that could be construed as a spoiler, I'm going to delete that too. Don't be doing that in the regular comments of the video, because I'm just going to go delete them. I don't know. I mean, so yeah, we're going to merge just so Jeff can say we merged at 17. Also, what's up? Split them up. Get your new buffs.
Man, because I get like merge and unmerge is just something we haven't done. And having 24 people, it's just like ripe for that. And it's like, seems like we're not doing that.
Do you think that there's two people, Cruz says maybe two go to exile. Do you think there's two people who potentially at this merge air quotes portion earn themselves safety, but that safety is going to exile, and the other 15 randomly draw? And it's 5, 5, and 5, and two aren't going, so that it's all even numbers.
That's very possible. It's very likely 5, 5, 5, or if it's not, it's 6, 6, 5.
Just please do not be everybody goes.
It's definitely five. There's five blue ones, because then it doesn't double up on the end. Yeah, no, there's exactly five blue ones.
On the, how many of the others?
There's at least two pink ones, from what I can tell. And there's at least one orange. I imagine it's 5, 5, 5. It could be two people going to exile. I mean, we have, you know, been to exile.
Exile's been established.
Exile exists in the season 50 location. Like, it's part of our setting.
Yeah. Well, the one thing Michael JP says, I think the edit is telling us Rizzo goes far now. I feel like Rizzo probably gets out. He's got his idol. He'd have to play it here, right?
I think a lot of the Rizzo edit tonight, though, is like misdirect to make it look like he's overconfident, cocky, and he's going to get voted out, so that when Charlie does get that fourth vote, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe they kept Rizzo in the game. Like, he was blabbering about how good he was, how he's the Riz God. You have Camilla just shooting him faces all tribal council. Like, will this guy shut up? I think a lot of what we got from Rizzo was to set up the shock of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like Rizzo's probably got some legs, though. I mean, do you think Rizzo, and we didn't really talk about this when we talked about everything else, do you think Rizzo not playing the idol here, do you think he's eventually going to get got with this whole, like, holding onto his idol? Or do you think he really just has this good of reads on people? Because, I mean, this guy's got stones, man. He's just sitting there, oh, 4-3 vote. I'll trust these people I met a week ago. Like, I think he's crazy.
I don't know if it's necessarily reads. I mean, you could attribute it to that. It'd be interesting to say what even Rizzo would credit with, like, holding on to idols and not going home. I would likely say that Rizzo would say, I'm just not playing my idol because, like, what good is it? If I get voted out now, like, if I play my idol now and it's right, like, what am I? Look, I'm at final 17. I've already played an idol successfully. How do I get to final three in that scenario?
It's like JT and Game Changers.
We always talk about it. I think Rizzo's like, I'd rather not play it. And if I get blindsided with it, great. But if I needed to play it, that I'm probably not winning anyway. I probably work with people and persuade them and trust that I got the numbers. And so that when I absolutely know I need to play it and I can play it later in the game, that's probably would be Rizzo's thought process. Again, I don't know. Rizzo could be like, no, I can like look at people's eyes and know how they're voting. And that's why I have never, like, that could be what Rizzo would tell you. But it feels like to me, he's just like, I'd rather take the risk. It's worth the risk to not play it, because if I have it later, that increases my chances of winning.
Yeah. And that's exactly what JT did back in Game Changers, and everybody gave him a hard time. And it's like, JT was playing for first. If he makes it through one more vote, he probably goes home. He knew that, and he needed to go way further than that. So,
You lose your idol. You paint a target on your back. Like, a successful idol play this early, yes, it keeps you alive for one more day, but if there's a sliver that you don't need it, or not even a sliver, if it's like 50-50 you don't need it, you probably just want to be like, all right, hopefully my people are telling me the truth.
We have this one, though, from Brian Killen at Weber. Also, Kyle was able to win after an idol play at Final 15, so he could play correctly and still win. And Kyle, actually, that's the earliest correct idol play for a winner in Survivor history, is at Final 15.
Sure. And it's not like if Rizzo plays the idol here and saves himself that he can't win. I just think it probably makes it a harder road for him.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know if Rizzo can win unless he really shows out. I think it's maybe hard for a jury that's seen every single other person play, and no matter who Rizzo sits at final three with, if he does end up there, you will know their full Survivor story. You know, it might be somebody like Stephanie or Ozzy or Colby or Coach or Suri, and it's like, we've seen your whole journey on Survivor. Rizzo, like, what if I watch 49 and you're the complete laughing stock? That's why you got, like, again, we have Q, we have Angelina on the season. Like, what if you fall more into a Q Angelina and you're not a serious player? And now I vote for you to win, having not seen 49, I'm going to look like a fool. And not that he has to be a fool in any way, but the way he comes off and presents himself, I think he's very good strategically. We've seen his game, though, in 49. These players haven't. And I just, he'll probably have to do something just spectacular in order to win, a final three with the people left here, you know, unless it's like, Full new era, final three. I just, without seeing his first game, I think that might make it tough for some jury members.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I've been saying all along that that's Rizzo's biggest obstacle, because Rizzo could play an absolutely phenomenal game of Survivor, but they didn't see him, and that might turn them off from wanting to vote for him at the end. Especially, I mean, who can he sit next to? Maybe if he sat next to Jonathan, maybe he would win. I think even Joe beats him, though, because Joe, he's a zero vote finalist, but everybody knows Joe's story. And then
it's Rizzo, Joe, Jonathan, and Jonathan and Joe don't do anything to like up their strategic gameplay. I think Riz God is taking home the dub there.
I don't think he can beat anybody else, though, left in the game. Maybe Tiffany. That's really it.
I mean, it's also context, like, who's done what? Maybe some people have not been voting correctly every single vote, you know. Yeah. What if Colby's there and he goes to tribal council and Colby doesn't vote correctly once all the way to final three?
He wins probably 11-0.
Yeah, maybe.
I've actually had visions about this. Yeah, they got smoked tonight, right?
I think it's still on. I don't think the game is not over till the fat lady sings, right?
I think somebody's singing. Yeah, Cody just said Kyle Want played an idol pre-merge and won. Well, he's a little bit behind, but he got that super chat in, so he was like that. I think that Rizzo, I think you're right. Rizzo's biggest obstacle getting to the end. He has to play such an impressive game to get the win. He could. I think he could. I think that's what's really interesting about Rizzo, and I think that's what I'm enjoying about Rizzo on this season. I'm liking Rizzo more on this season than 49. I think there was some negativity in 49 around knowing him and Savannah were going to play again that just made me not like him and want to root against him. I'm enjoying him more this season.
I probably liked him more in 49. I think, this was heavy-handed to make us think he was going home. A lot of this stuff, I want to be one of the greatest players to ever play. Like, okay, well, let's, like, slow the brakes a little bit. And I like the energy. I like the confidence. I like the gusto. Like, that's fine. But I think the show is like kind of hitting us over the head with that. And I don't necessarily need that from, like, I know that I can get other good things from Rizzo than him just saying, I'm going to be one of the best to ever play. I mean, Maybe it's setting up him winning.
Yeah, what if he goes fourth place, loses at Fire, would have won maybe, and then comes back and wins 50 the next season?
Yeah, it's possible.
Ryan Chan here. The thought of Probst reading off 17 votes, and that's how I know all 17 aren't going to tribal together, because Jeff hates big tribals.
Well, they can split into groups. He loves splitting people into groups.
Here's what's going to happen next week. You ready?
I think it's three boots. We're going from 17 to 14. And then I think we unmerge the week after, because I still think unmerging, like, that's too juicy. That's too juicy for Jeff not to do.
Here's what happens. 17 people, they merge. They run around and they look for keys in the woods, and two of them randomly open a box to safety. Randomly. So it can't even be a skill involved in getting keys. Those two people go to exile. The other 15 go. Three of them get voted out. They all come back together and they demerge to 15 again, or 14, whatever. I don't know.
They do two tribes of seven.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. So they're going to merge, not even merge, demerge just to get two people away.
Stop saying demerge. We're calling it unmerge, okay?
We're calling it demerge because D's still here and she made the merge. Go D. Only winner to do it.
D's merge?
D's merge. Everybody wants to know, too, about these Colby impressions. Isn't it nice? Well, we've done an hour and 13 minutes.
I thought you would be all over complaining. Why is Jeff so funny and lighthearted? An old man that's angry.
Here we go. 4-3-3-3-3-1 vote split, baby. Here we go. That's what's happening next time.
Hold on. You talk about Jeff's impressions.
I think Jeff's impressions were fine. This is the stuff where I don't feel like Jeff's inserting himself. Doing the rap is dumb. This is having fun with the cast at Tribal Council when they're doing it too. I'm fine with this. And Jeff's also been dying since season two to do a Colby impersonation on the show. He's I always use the kicking and screaming with Will Ferrell and Mike Ditka, where Mike Ditka wears his bear sweater and the glasses, and then Will Ferrell shows up at the soccer game dressed exactly like him. That's Jeff with Colby, man. He just wants to be Colby. So he finally got to do it, and that was good. I enjoyed it. I'm okay with the silliness. I thought Jeff's rap was bullshit.
Yeah, I enjoyed. I'm okay with Jeff just having a little fun. Like the Christian impression, I thought was good. The Colby one was good. The Mr. Jeff one, I think he had it there early, or the Jonathan one, and then he kind of
lost it.
I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 15 people at the challenge. Now, it doesn't mean the other two aren't there.
You have a screenshot of this? Can we see it?
No, I just manually counted.
Okay.
And who are the two people not there? Let's see. I don't see Rizzo. I see... Tell me who I'm not naming.
Okay.
I see Coach, Jonathan, Sari, Genevieve, Christian, Stephanie, Aubrey, Camilla, Colby, Chrissy, Emily, Devins, Tiffany, D, and Joe.
Ozzy and Rizzo
go to exile.
That's what you're getting. And this is from the preview. You're just looking at the preview.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the. We're just doing some forensics right now.
Okay.
And then that must mean I don't see Ozzy here. Ozzy's back in exile again. So it's Ozzy and Rizzo will be at some sort of exile. So then we're going to have 15 people. It will be three tribes of five. One wins immunity. They'll go to three beaches, three tribal councils. Three people will be eliminated.
God, I hate that so much.
That's so bad.
And MemeView says, this is a good super chat here. Do you think Jeff has a contract kind of like The Rock, where The Rock can't lose a fight, but Jeff has a contract where he has to embarrass himself every episode? Merging at 17 to demerge, unmerge at 15 to do three tribes of five is embarrassing yourself. I hate it. Oh, that's terrible. And look, Will could just be looking at that picture and they just might not be there. Are they all wearing yellow buffs as you're looking at that?
It's connecting two shots together, and they're all wearing yellow. But they're at the challenge.
Gotcha.
And look, Joe, it's like if Joe is
It's not on the end. Ozzy could be there.
Like a Joe, yeah, Joe's on the end, but if that's just the frame of the camera and Rizzo and Ozzy are standing to the left of Joe, then we got all 17 people there. But like the chances that there's exactly 15 when it's the setup of challenges, there's five lanes in each one. That's what it is. We're losing three people next week at three tribals. Are you clapping for me?
Did you hear that? That was for you, Will.
Wow, thank you.
That was it. I actually found there's actually sound effects in StreamYard, and that was the first time I think we've ever used one on the podcast. And there you
good,
go.
Good. Good.
You got
I'll take it.
Intense. Not intense applause, applause intense.
Right. Should we do the Philly and the Willie?
Yeah, I mean, the Philly's so easy. It's Rizzo. I mean, I think it's Rizzo 100%. I mean, he got Sari to tell. It's not just that he went and got the 4-3 advantage. He got Sari to tell him about the extra vote. He was able to get rid of the person who was gunning for him the hardest. He was able to create an alliance that I think will actually work. He's telling people about this idol. People seem to be willing to work with him. I think it's so easily Rizzo. Close second is Colby for being the Oak Monk or whatever the hell coach named him, but that guy.
Oak something, and then
what Oak was Barrel Man.
Joe is the Stone Bandit or something.
Stone Barrel? I don't remember. Young they were Stone good. Barrel, they weren't as yeah. good as the Dragon Slayer, the Wizard.
What's
Bride coach of the Dragon?
Coach is the Tidewalker?
The Tidewalker. That was good. I liked that. But yeah, for the Philly, it's an easy Rizzo. There's no doubt about it. He gets the Rizzo, and that's that.
Who is going to get the Willy? I'm almost thinking it's like Ozzy. Just because, like, I think you should take out Christian.
I do think it was a mistake not to.
Like,
now, what about Jonathan? I feel like it could be Jonathan, too, because Jonathan was totally left out of this, and he was duped.
Yeah, but that's part of Jonathan's. Like, I feel like at this point, Ozzy has no excuse, but to like play the game, man. I don't know. Like, I don't think just because Jonathan was left out. I mean, Devin's was also left out, unless Sari looped. But Devin seemed surprised.
Devin seemed surprised, but Devin seemed to be taking it okay. Jonathan looked absolutely dumbfounded. I think Devin's can rebound because he is more of a strategist. I think Jonathan's in trouble after that.
I think it's okay for, you know, you're not in the move and it happens against you, fine. I think it's worse to be in the know and you had the information and the power to make a move that would have been better for you and you chose not to do that.
Yeah.
That's what Ozzy did. Let's go Ozzy because Angelina, I don't know.
Angelina, you can get rid of at any time.
I don't know. It's hard for me to believe that Christian and Ozzy, after the shot in the dark of it all, are now just like going to be kumbaya boys to the end. Like, I just don't buy that from that duo. And the fact that Ozzy felt so persuaded by Christian bullshitting him with the shot in the dark when we know it was a bull. Like, we know Christian was laughing at Ozzy, calling him a baby the scene before. And then the shot in the dark was given all this credit to be this like really significant virtue of our loyalty and honesty. And it just seemed like such a performance for Ozzy, and Ozzy just bought it. Kind of feels like he got duped by Christian. So I'm going to go with Ozzy.
Yeah, I feel that. Also, how crazy would it be Ozzy and Rizzo if they really are on exile, if your snooping is correct? They both have idols. So two of the people with idols at Final 17, at this kind of BS three tribes of five that we're thinking.
You put these idols in the game and now they're on another beach and no one can even use them. And
Genevieve's just never getting
We're going to get three people just totally screwed next week. It's going to be like, this is like this. You build up these characters. They have these relationships. You're telling a story. And then you just like throw this beautiful storytelling, beautiful connections, like beautiful games that people have been working on, like fostering the right relationships. And we're going to just throw that all away, put it in a blender and then put it in a garbage disposal and then put it out to the dumpster and light it on fire. Because guess what? Now it's going to be so random. The only thing that's going to matter are like the quick scrambles and maybe even pregame alliances now have way more like they're way more important now because you're just going to have random groups. It's just like, the decision to randomize everything just removes so much of the agency of the players. You're going to have good Survivor players who did very little wrong next week go home. That's my prediction.
Well, and let's think about this, because I got the confessionals here, and I'm not even, this isn't even about confessionals, just so I can read off the players. Like, I'm thinking about who's playing a good game of Survivor right now. We'll throw out Ozzy and Christian because we're feeling whatever. Camilla's playing a good game, right? Genevieve's playing a good game. Cerie's playing a good game. Coach Colby, Joe, they're playing good games. Stephanie might not have made the right move here, but she's not doing anything necessarily wrong. She got herself back from what seemed like an easy down 5-1. Chrissy, we're supposed to be seeming like she's getting some type of rebound. Somebody's getting screwed here. And this is what always bothers me is, like, back in the day, the way you built up some of these legends in Survivor was, oh man, this person got screwed their first season. Let's bring them back for another. Think about how massive Malcolm was going into Game Changers, and he could have won, and he gets screwed by a really stupid twist, and he goes home, and it kind of ruins the rest of the season anyway. And now Malcolm's not even on 50, and he never plays again after 34. And that's what I'm feeling like here. Like, could you potentially lose? Like, if Genevieve were to go here, she's had a big edit. All of a sudden this week, she gets nothing. I would be happier with Genevieve getting idled out by Aubrey than getting voted out in this. And even if Aubrey does vote her out in this next episode, I would have been happier with her going home on this other tribe rather than, oh, Aubrey just gets her way with Genevieve. Now, we don't know what it's going to break out to, whatever. But I don't know. What if Cerie goes home here? People are going to lose their ever-loving minds.
Yeah, and I think Jeff's argument would be, well, we want to keep the players on their toes. Good players can adapt. They can find good situations. It's just like, this is too random.
It's like how you always talk about in movies and TV shows, they love to show poker as the game because people understand poker, but poker is actually a terrible game to show because, like, if you're playing poker right, you're probably not going to win every hand. What Jeff is essentially doing with this type of swap, if this is even what happens, we might be talking about nothing, but if this is what happens,
it's looking
like it's going to happen.
More likely by the second.
I just have to put the caveats in, but if this is what happens, it's essentially saying, oh, no matter what you get dealt in poker, you have to go all in. And if you don't win that hand, it's because you're bad. It's like, no, you made me go all in. I don't have a say in what's going to happen. Or you're making me get rid of 90% of my stack on one hand, no matter what that hand is, and then telling me to rebound. And I have a 10% chance of rebounding then or something. Like, that's what it feels like it's doing, and that's what bothers me.
Yeah, I would say with poker scenes in movies, it's like, to convey to the audience that someone's good at poker, they flip over their cards and they have the royal flush or they have pocket aces. And it's like, all right, look at them. Wow, they must be good. And it's like, no, the good poker player would win with a bad hand and take the pot. And the person with a good hand would fold. But that's often too complicated and you can't, like, convey that quickly. So they just, okay, this person has good cards. That means they're good at poker. And it's like, you are right here. It's like, okay, people are going to have great cards out of this tribe swap or mix up, split into three groups. That's not a merge, even though we're merged and it's not a merge. Some people are going to have great hands. Some people are going to have bad hands. And the people with the bad hands don't have the option to fold. They have to go to tribal council, and three of them are going to have their torches snuffed with probably little wrongdoing of their own. So
makes me sick, man.
It's unfortunate because this season has been so good. Like, we haven't really said, we just got in the episode and started talking about it. This episode, I loved again. Like, I've loved every episode of season 50. I have not had an issue. I didn't really have an issue with the Zach Brown thing. I get it if you think it went long. It really didn't bother me. We have 90-minute episodes. I loved from the premiere, loved every episode, every tribal council, every scene of this season. And, man, it seems like we're just throwing it into a dumpster next week.
If we lose Colby or Coach next week, I'm going to be really sad because we got five episodes and I know they haven't gone to a tribal, but that's even more reason why this is unfair to them because they don't even know where people stand on their tribes and they're building alliances and they're doing what they're supposed to do. We're going in episode 6 and you have a lot of legends of the game still left. Steph, Ozzy, Cerie, Colby, Coach, all still in the game. Like, that's pretty crazy that we're going in episode 6 with those five older school players still around. And then you look at some of these new eras who are really building up their legend status or could be building up their legend status. Genevieve, Camilla, who I've already mentioned. Emily, I think, even though her game is chaotic, she's still building up her status as a player. That's for sure, as a character. You're gonna lose somebody that you didn't want to lose because of a dumb twist. And that doesn't mean don't do tribe swaps, don't do this. But if you do a tribe swap, give them 2 days. Give them 3 days. Let them figure something out. There's really, it's hard to see how people are going to get out of this. And I know, oh, well, there's an immunity challenge they can win. Yeah, but I don't want people's games to be solely based around an immunity challenge. I think it's stupid to knock Mike Holloway for his win in Worlds Apart because he has to win a bunch of immunities. But most Survivor fans do knock people who need to win immunities. And that's not the type of players that we attach to anymore. So why are you making it, oh, well, you got a really bad swap, but at least you can win immunity. Nobody wants that. Just keep the tribes how they are and make them compete for immunity and then go to tribal council. Like, I'd be fine with that. Even though the one tribe's down to four, they've put themselves in the position of being down to four.
For me, it's more just like going into three small groups and the way you're divided. It's likely going to be reaching to a basket and get a random buff. If there's some sort of like, you could earn a spot to be a captain, okay, but you're probably earning that through like randomly searching the woods, which isn't also, that's not great TV, and it also feels random even if there is a winner. The small groups, like the crunching of numbers, like you're relying so much on the dice roll on how these three votes go. You're not relying on the ability and skills of the contestants playing the game. And that's where it really pisses me off. And I said this in 49 when we did a tribe swap. Didn't we do like three tribes of five, or we did three tribes of four or something?
It was four. It was three tribes of four, and that's where Shannon got voted out.
Like, it just is with the numbers, you're not giving, like, even if they do this and they're like three people go to exile and we're going to do two tribes of seven and do a double boot, like, I'm not saying that's great TV or a great format decision for this show, but it is maybe 10 times better. Because you're one out of seven, it allows you some like room to navigate. Tribe of five, like if you're not in the numbers, if you're a big threat, like there's almost nothing you can do in some of those scenarios. And that's really the sad part.
It is. And Jeff really has in his mind that smaller tribals are better. And it's just
not though. It's just so false. Like you can just go back and watch like the best tribals of the history of the show. And a lot of them are, you know,
final 12, final 11.
Final 12. Or it's like, some of the best boots are often, you know, final seven, final eight, final nine. Like those are your like kind of big moments, like James 2 Idols, stuff like that, like the middle of the game. And now we're just lowering it down to five. When we started, it's like the starting tribes at eight was amazing. And now we're going back to three tribes. I thought we were over it. I thought we got through that part.
Yeah, I know. Small tribes, yeah, Brian killing it, Weber. But small tribes are more dangerous, Roll's eyes. I don't, Jeff just has been thinking that, and it doesn't matter how many times people say it, doesn't matter how many times we say it, doesn't matter.
It doesn't award.
He likes random.
It doesn't
award. I mean, we played the Survivor game, right? The exploding kittens version of Survivor. It's random. Jeff likes random. I don't know why he wants Survivor to be random, but you, like, I truly believe, and that's also what's hurting some of these new era players. It is so hard to be great at Survivor because so much has to break now your way. Whereas in the older school season, you could be great at Survivor because it was a game that you could do. And yeah, people would get tribe swap screwed. Like that would happen. But it was easier to actually navigate the game in a realistic, strategic way. Nowadays, you can say, oh, well, that means the new era is harder. No, it just means it's more random. You could play the most perfect game through five episodes and you could go home because you get swapped to a tribe where it's 4-1 and the four people who are on your tribe all played together. And the challenge happens to be balancing on your feet and your Colby whose foot hurts. That's stupid. That's dumb. That's not what Survivor is. And that's why it's hard to consider these new era winners better than the old school winners, in my opinion, because the old school winners were playing a game that was play the strategy, play the physical, do this. There's luck, but this is too much.
Right. And it's, never are going to say like Survivor is fully a game of skill. There's always been a luck component to Survivor. There always will be, but it is like a spectrum. It is skill on one end, luck on another. And, you know, the new era skews way more towards luck than the older seasons of Survivor. You know, I don't think we ever want Survivor to simply just be like chess. I don't even know how you do that, because you have to start randomly on tribes. And like, that is a huge variable, who you start on tribe with. But we got to take out these little randomizations of votes. Like, it just doesn't, it's not what Survivor is. I could see it working on another format or another show, or that could even be the premise of the show. Like every week we have a different group of people going to elimination and you have to have relationships with everybody. And that's the story we're going to follow. That's not Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Colby still doesn't have a vote because he hasn't gone to a tribal yet, and he played a stupid game of Tetris Topple.
Tetris Topple. Rearing its ugly head.
Rearing its ugly. We got this comment here from Cody. Did anyone else hate that the Billie Eilish idol, not including the boomerang in it? This was actually a really smart move by Rizzo, though, no? He's not telling people that boomerang's back to him. He's not telling all of them. He told one person. I don't think he told everybody.
I was confused on whether... Like, I know he was saying Billie Eilish idol. I was confused on whether that was strategic or just like Billie Eilish boomerang idol is a mouthful.
Yeah. I feel like I thought it was strategic, but then he did tell, like, Charlie it was boomerang.
Yeah, he did tell Charlie. And the way he was saying it, like, here's the way the idols work this season. It's not, okay, here's how they work. They're called the Billie Eilish idol. Okay, well, how do they work? No, I just told you they're called the Billie Eilish idol. Well, that's like, okay, well, that's just the name of it. How do they work? No, it's like, that doesn't, I don't know. I think he's probably telling the whole thing and they're just shortening it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It did stand out to me though. That's a good comment. Thanks for that. Cause that did bother me. I'm like, why are they just leaving boomerang out? And now I'm thinking, was it a strategic choice? But I'm pretty sure he says, like, this is how it works.
I think he definitely, I don't know if he told Sari and Dee and Camilla that it comes back to him, but I think he definitely told Charlie it would come back to him. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Again, I think the secret's out on the boomerang idol. Like, mm-hmm. by the time we have 17 people merging, it's the secret's up at this point.
Yeah.
The Giants went final. 7-0, Yankees win.
Nice. Only 161 more to go to then have a pointless postseason. Or regular season's most pointless.
Have a three-game series.
Three-game series of 162-game season. Seven teams are going to make it anyway. The Yankees just have to go like 83 wins. Who cares? Baseball ruined itself. Going over here real quick to the questions for this week. Who will be shown in water? Charlie, Genevieve, Joe, Jonathan, Ozzy, and Stephanie. Who will say idol? Charlie, Sari, Camilla, Rizzo, and Stephanie. Who will say Jeff? Angelina, Charlie, Jonathan, Rizzo, Stephanie, and Tiffany. Who will be the last person shown getting up to vote at the final tribal council of the episode? That was Camilla. Who will be the first person Jeff asks a question at the first tribal? That was Stephanie. Episode title was Christian again. That's three in a row. Most confessionals, Ozzy had 9. Rizzo had 8. So it goes to Ozzy, 0 confessionals, Chrissy, Genevieve, and Tiffany. Chrissy, that's her second episode. Tiffany, that's her third. Genevieve, that's her first. First player shown holding the tribal immunity after the immunity challenge, Tiffany. Tiffany actually had a good episode for this game. And who will cast the deciding votes at tribal? It was Dee and Emily who had the last votes shown at their two tribals. So that is for the prop bet game for those of you who are playing along. Somebody has, I want to say the first place person right now has 27 points. 27, that's crazy. You're averaging over 5 a week. You're doing better than 50%. On this game, and this is not a 50% game. So well done to that person. And some of the questions I put in, you can easily go find the answers in a preview or something, but still 27 is nuts. Anyway, anything else about this episode? Anything else?
I mean, I had a really good time with this episode. I thought both tribal councils were fun, and, you know, sad to lose Angelina, sad to lose Charlie, but I got to say, like, the boot order so far isn't devastating. I think we're in a pretty good spot with the boot order, especially it's like, you know, we didn't lose David versus Goliath Angelina here. So it's like almost like we didn't really lose Angelina in a way because we never had her. So,
and if you were to tell me,
I'm just upset about the three tribe split next week.
Yeah. Which we feel is bad. But if you told me pretty much next week is just before the midway point, but if you told me that going to the midway point, I would have Devin's, Christian, Genevieve, Colby, Coach, Sari, I'd be like, no way. I mean, I got all those people going into episode 6, plus Emily Flippin's bringing the chaos, and this is a better version of Ozzy that I find myself rooting for.
Stephanie's still in there. Yeah, we have Ozzy.
Like, and Rizzo is delivering. Like, I'm very
pleased. Mel and D are pretty good reps for the new era, you know? Yeah.
No, this is delivering big time, and I just hope that next week, whatever happens,
you know what it could be. It could be three groups of 5, which again, I still don't like, but it could be one of those groups wins immunity, the other two get one immunity on each tribe or something, and then we have two tribal councils and not three, which would be better. Which would be better, but again, splitting into three groups of 5 is more of my – I don't mind doing a double boot or even a triple boot if it's done and you have 2 hours to do it. Could be done in a fair and creative way, But the randomization splitting into five, is three groups of five, is kind of the, that's the, it's given me the ick.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow night. Blake and I will be live with Jake O'Kane at 6 p.m. Eastern time before the game start. Rizmo here. And we have Joe. So we'll be live with Jake O'Kane 6 p.m. tomorrow night. And then on Friday, John and McKenna will be doing Survivor Rewind. And then on Sunday, I got Caleb at 12:30. Caleb, of course, from Survivor 45. So big Survivor 45 week here to talk about Emily, who is still in this game. So we got Caleb coming in on Sunday at 12:30.
Get the winner of 45.
Oh, Dee's still there too. Okay. Yeah, no, I know. Emily and Dee both. And then next week, it's another busy week, but because of the entire Ron Clark thing, on Tuesday, I'm going to be podcasting with Mike Bloom at 9 in the morning. Wednesday night, Will and Blake are holding down the fort for the podcast, for the recap. And then on Thursday, Blake and I are going to be live with Bryce Isaiah. So we got a lot of stuff going on. We got a lot of good stuff still happening. I'll be doing that.
Are you seeing Bryce at the Ron Clark event? He usually likes to go to events.
He is going to be there, but that's why I'm doing Thursday.
Right. Okay. Don't stay out too late, you three.
I know. You just saying. I know. Well, we'll be doing it at night. Hopefully we're good.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I'm excited for that one. I'll be doing that from a hotel on my laptop, which hopefully works better than my computer, which is dying and dying and dying. Anyway. Thank you all so much for listening. Patreon.com/thespecialist. Blake and I today talked about for the $10 and up tier that we talked about who we think will be returning and what kind of casting they're going to be looking to do in the future seasons based on maybe what they're seeing from 50. And then tomorrow we start our Worlds Apart for Every Season Matters, where Will, myself, and Blake tell you kind of why we like Worlds Apart. So go ahead and tune into that.
Surprisingly crazy rewatch. Like surprisingly... more entertaining than on a first watch.
We've done 6 of the 8 episodes that we've pre-recorded. We haven't gotten a legacy yet where we always update our season rankings as we go through. I have Worlds Apart a lot higher through 30 seasons.
I haven't placed yet. I place it live when we record it. So I'm not there yet.
I place it because then I start watching the next season pretty quickly, but my God, I'm ready to go. So anyway, that's what we got going on over on the Patreon. So check out patreon.com/thespecialist. Otherwise, thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode. No Zach Brown, no Jeff rapping. We just got to talk about Survivor, and that was pretty nice. So I really enjoyed this episode, and I will see you tomorrow night at 6 p.m.
See ya.